average woman puts on 28 products that have over 130 chemicals every day. I'd be most concerned about lipstick and nail polish. Nail polish has a lot of chemicals and, you know, you're talking about benzene and hexanes and formaldehyde, which is really toxic. So I'd be worried about what I'm putting on my skin that I'm leaving on my skin because it's staying on there as opposed to the shampoos. But if I had to make a choice, and I'd be very concerned about lipstick and very concerned about nail polish.
All right, everyone, a very special guest. Check it out. The guy sitting in front of me is a guy I've known for the past maybe 5, maybe 6 years. Time goes by so fast, but he's had many, many different lives, you know, from Academy Award nominee, filmmaker, and he toured when he was younger with a funk band that I didn't even know until recently. I listened to that he was playing guitar for them, but he's also my co-founder at SwellScore. And I wanted to bring Gary Binko on to talk about really what the state of supplement industry is. A lot of you out there open up your computer, you go, oh, I need more vitamin C or I need more B vitamins. And you go on Amazon or you might go on another website without knowing there's a piece when it comes to integrity, when it comes to testing that a lot of these companies aren't doing. So we really want to clear up a lot of these health trends, the things that are buzzing in health and wellness that a lot of you have questions for. Oh, we're going to get to them today. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you for having me, Dr. G.
Yeah, man. We did know each other for a while, man. And we're proud over here doing things at the SwellScore to bring people health and wellness with integrity. And we'll go into that a little bit later. But I do want to talk about one of the most popular things is Amazon. Everybody, viewers, listeners, has ordered something from Amazon. Most of us have ordered supplements or something in the supplement health and wellness field from Amazon. But when it comes to supplements, is Amazon a place that is foolproof, always safe, good to go?
Well, you're just jumping right in. There's no hi, how are you? Welcome to the set.
No, we're jumping in.
You're jumping right in. Well, I would say, I think we all know the answer to that, which is that Amazon has been an amazing marvel of our generation. And, you know, it's amazing how you can order something from your phone and it shows up the next day, sometimes the same day. It's fantastic marketplace that Jeff Bezos built, but I wouldn't trust it to buy my health products or there's many products that I wouldn't necessarily want to buy from Amazon. There's many that I do purchase myself every day. I think the problem that they're having with the supplement side, aside from the whole industry being a problem because it's unregulated and it's not easy for a consumer to find the truth in the wellness and supplement space. So for one, Amazon, you have a ton of counterfeiters that are coming from all over the world. When you see a product that's selling and they know it's selling, they'll copy it, duplicate it, put it on Amazon, and the customer will never know that they're not getting the real product. Within, you know, the way that Amazon and others, there's not just Amazon, there's Walmart, there's many big box retailers that have big kind of warehousing and distribution centers. And so they're required to kind of have certain practices at the distribution centers that are not a great environment to warehouse supplements or any ingestibles, in my opinion. So I would be leery of having any kind of other kind of contaminants that wind up on your products that show up from these places as well. But so that's sort of the two biggest areas that I would be concerned about.
Yeah, the counterfeit. I remember years ago when I was first doing research about the marketplace on Amazon, it's a massive counterfeit place. And it's funny because when I was doing this research, I had a patient come to me and she showed me these products that she bought on Amazon. After I wrote her protocol and I said, here, you can go on this website and get it. She didn't. She went on it. She goes, oh no, it's like $6 cheaper on Amazon. I'm just going to get it on Amazon. She brought it in and I took a picture of it. It was one of my first ever posts, like the fourth post I ever did, comparing Amazon products with professional brand products or vendors who, you know, are reputable. And you can see just these little black spots everywhere. I'm assuming it was mold overgrowing, right? Because it just wasn't stored properly, moisture. But you're looking at the difference between capsules, like, because I had the capsules in my office and we just compared them. And I was like, this is pretty incredible. And that's when I started going into the research about the industry. And last I checked, it was like a $6 billion industry, the supplement counterfeit industry. some industry is huge, but the counterfeit. And it's incredible that we don't think about how our supplements are stored.
Yeah, so I never knew about this until we started this company. And of course, we are very close with the brands that we sell. And so we, you know, I have conversations with the brand owners, and they have the same problem because they're trying to control it themselves as well. So they have, you know, people would come to us and buy product and then just resell it on Amazon, the same product, and mark it up 20%, which I don't understand. Why would you pay 20% or 30% more to buy it on Amazon? But I guess because of the convenience and people don't want to do the research. But we try to prevent that from happening. And I know that these brands are struggling to also kick out these counterfeiters that are coming from China and other places all over the world that are getting on into our marketplace. And it's a big problem. So I don't know, I don't have insight into what Amazon is doing to try and regulate that or control that. But I know from our side, we get it all the time. And someone said, I bought, you know, this product and it looks really weird. And I'm like, where did you buy it from? And it turns out, oh, I got this from Amazon, or I got it from Walmart, or I got it from Target.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hard to police right now. It's hard enough to police the industry with the FDA regulating the supplement industry for Amazon and any other, you know, big box retailers to regulate what's going on in their marketplaces. I think that's really hard.
Yeah. And you mentioned Walmart. So I start thinking about the investigation they did at CVS. I think it was Target, Walmart, or Walgreens, Walmart. And I think it was Ginkgo they were looking for. And they found that none of these companies, their supplement brands, had any detectable ginkgo in it. And we think about it, it's like, okay, I just paid $25 for something that I read online is good for the brain, or my doctor said, maybe look into this. But you go to Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, Target, and buy this without ever knowing that there's no regulation, right? And I think we assume because it's on the shelf, oh, it has to have ginkgo in it. No, it doesn't have to have it. It can have cilantro, it can have some cloves, it might have some baking soda, but it doesn't have to have ginkgo. And that's crazy to think, because we're putting our hard-earned money in these products, and a lot of them don't even contain what we want to. Aside from purity, it doesn't even contain what we want to in there. So I want that's to for everyone to visualize how unregulated it is. When it comes to unregulation, is it just because the FDA is just overlooking this, or is there's poor setup for these companies? Are they self-regulating? What do you find?
I think it's a really tough problem to solve, because everybody loves to sort of bash on the government and the FDA, and why would you trust the FDA? And they're just understaffed. It's not possible for them to oversee the amount and volume of products and brands that are in the marketplace. Mm. Impossible. What they've built is some sort of guardrails that I think, and this is sort of how it works, which is that if you can literally put anything out, the only time it's going to be a problem for you is if there's a safety problem, if someone gets sick from taking your supplement, or if someone finds out that it has impurities in them, which, by the way, in that study that you're referencing with all these other outlets, they with Ginkgo Biloba, they found arsenic, cadmium and lead in these products as well, which, arsenic's a rat poison. Okay. I don't really want to be taking a supplement with rat poison. I don't think anybody does. Right. So I think it's not just about what's supposed to be in the product is in there. It's also like what else is in the product. So I think the FDA has no ability to have everything tested, everything regulated. So they react to, is there a problem? Did somebody complain? Was there a safety issue? Let's investigate. And then they'll send a notice to that company. They'll also, obviously, they're very sort of hyper focused on putting companies on notice that are making claims that are untrue. You know, if you take this supplement, you're going to prevent Alzheimer's. Or if you take this supplement, is proven or shown to do X, Y, and Z. You can't make that claim without, having a long history and studies of clinical trials to support that claim. And so I think that's where they do well. But I think what's happening, I think led by people like you, I think, and others, that there's a groundswell, mainly also led by women and moms, who are demanding brands be transparent about what's in their products. So don't rely on the FDA. It's up to us and our responsibilities to regulate or to observe and to call out and to test and to demand brands be more transparent about what's in the products, because it's not going to be solved by the government. There's not enough money for them to do it. And in fact, when there's money, don't forget all of these companies, these big supplement companies are also spending a fortune to lobby the government. So they're actually controlling what laws are being written. It's going to fall on us. And it's a citizen movement. And I think this is what's awesome. So people like you and a Food Babe, and you know, there's a long list of other great advocates who are, you know, banging the drum, and they're making a noise. And guess what? It's working. So all the people responses we get on social media, stop fear mongering. You know, why are you guys putting out the fear? We're not trying to put out the fear. We're trying to make people aware, because the more noise you make, the more change you can affect. And brands are listening. Believe me, we've already seen a dozen brands make changes to their formulation based on stuff that you've done that has called them out on fillers or stabilizers that are unnecessary. And I think this is where we are. I'm excited about it. I love that we can make a difference, and I think it's on us to make the change.
Yeah, very much so. And it's empowering for people, because they go, okay, well, we can make the change. It's just a matter of what to look for, right? And we go over a few things, like on these shows when I'm doing these investigations, heavy metals being one of the biggest things. I know what we look for in Swell Score, but what's important for you when it comes to a quality supplement?
Well, again, a tough question to answer. So we at the Swell Score, we're very we try to be strict about what kind of clinical evidence is there to support the ingredient in the supplement itself. Like, do we want to just throw everything out there and let you decide? I mean, part of my personal history, because I've been into natural medicine and natural health for my whole life, so I've tried everything, including stuff that's probably been very harmful for me. But I don't mind, because I don't mind experimenting. You know, sometimes I'll take more than I should because I want to see if it has an effect. I think the issue is we try to find brands that are everything has to have gone through a third party lab test, or we'll test it ourselves. And in many cases, we're testing even when we have the third party test, because we don't trust the third party test. So we're trying to be a place for people to feel safe, where they can know that we've done the science and research to find out whether this actual, you know, we're only talking supplements right now, but any product that we sell has some sort of efficacious benefit. Does it help you in some ways? Has there been enough research and science? Is there other evidence that will help us make that decision? And by the way, you know this, we've taken a bunch of products off the Swell. So we've approved many products, and some of our amazing followers and customers have pointed out, hey, this has this certain ingredient we don't like. And we've asked the brand and they didn't have the right answers. We've taken them off the shelves at the Swell. So I think we want to work with partners that are willing to be transparent, willing to test the products, willing to have the potency and heavy metals evaluations done on their products. And that's how we.
Yeah. Decide. We set the bar for that. And look, for like people viewing, listening, it's a matter of like, what is the ethos of the company? Because if you call them up and they're open, and I've come across many companies that are like, oh, we're proud of our product. What do you want to know? Okay, here's where it's farmed, or here's how we process it. We want to talk about heavy metals. We're crazy about them too. And then they talk about what they go for. We have this certification for our lab, GMP or CGMP or something like that. And then they talk about heavy metals, and they talk about pesticides. Just getting a feel, and if it's a one-time thing, you're going to use a bottle and then maybe get another company, that's one thing. But if you're going to dedicate yourself and you go, especially if it's for your kids, come on, you have to make sure that you're having a quality company with good ethos, company with good high standard, high bar. So it's sort of like, it's annoying in a sense that like, oh, well, why don't they just put something out where I don't have to do any of that? But you had just mentioned, it's us on the ground level that is having to do this, because it's just way too much for the FDA. And they're focused on other things. We need to bring more education on what people need to look for. There's so many green powders on the market, and I've worked with a few. You may have noticed lately I've been talking about NewZest Good Green Vitality, and I want to talk about why I've chosen to partner with NewZest as my number one green powder as of late. When it comes to nutritional supplements, you know I'm passionate about finding the best one without breaking the bank. That's why I was drawn to NewsZest. They are transparent with their third-party testing. The nutritional benefits are some of the best I've seen, and it's affordable. Now, compared to the other competitors, NewsZest offers more accessible price point, making premium quality nutrition within reach for all of you. You see, affordability isn't the only reason I'm excited about Good Green Vitality. It tastes good, and taste matters, right? We want to make sure that we're consuming something every single day. We want to make sure that it's good. So gone are the days of choking down those earthy, unpleasant tasting supplements. With Good Green Vitality, you actually look forward to your daily nutrition. I put it in my smoothie every morning without fail. The supplement is like a symphony of vitamins, minerals, superfoods, all packed into one convenient scoop. And it's formulated to fill the gaps in our diets, providing comprehensive nourishment. It supports our overall health and vitality. Since I've been incorporating Good Green Vitality into my routine, I've noticed a significant difference. My energy levels are really high, probably the best in a long time. My stress levels or resiliency to stress is much better. Stress levels don't go down. I always got a lot going on, but the resiliency is much better. Especially when I travel, my immune system feels really good. I haven't been really getting sick just once it's about to hit. And then I'm making sure that I'm following that Good Green Vitality protocol, especially if I've been missing out on it. So it's a remarkable supplement that's become a cornerstone of my wellness regimen. You can get 20% off of all NewsZest products by using code DRG at checkout. Head to newszest-usa.com/DRG to learn more and start your journey towards whole body wellness with Good Green Vitality. That is newszest-usa.com/DRG. Use the code DRG for 20% off. We are all looking for a tasty drink to sip on, whether it's coffee, tea, or flavored water, but not all beverages are created equal when it comes to quality and health benefits. That's why I become obsessed with Peak Sun Goddess Matcha. This isn't just any old matcha powder. We're talking organic ceremonial grade matcha tea that's been meticulously screened for pesticides, heavy metals, mold, and radioactive isotopes. Peak takes no shortcuts here. Their matcha is cultivated by a ninth degree tea master in Kagoshima, Japan, using century-old traditions. Their plants are shaded 35% longer than the usual to maximize the production of the vital compounds that are in green tea matcha that you're looking for, right? L-theanine for calm, steady energy, and chlorophyll for its detoxifying anti-aging benefits. Part of my morning routine is always having myself a warm matcha. I use Sun Goddess Matcha, not just for the energizing kick, but for all the amazing gut health, metabolism boosting, and antioxidant benefits. The phytonutrients nurture my digestive system. It's going to feed the gut bacteria. The EGCG compounds help my body burn calories efficiently. And the chlorophyll gives my skin a radiant glow. They have perfectly proportioned packets that are easy to mix with water anytime you need a pick-me-up. It's easy to make it part of your self-care ritual. Make it part of your morning routine. Peak is offering you 15% off of their Sun Goddess Matcha, plus a free beaker and a rechargeable frother. Make sure you got that frother. That makes the matcha so much better. When you go to peaklife.com/DRG, they're so confident you'll love it. They're going to give you a 30-day money-back guarantee. No code at checkout. Just go to peakuelife.com/DRG to get 15% off plus the freebies. But it's moving towards that way, and I feel really inspired by it. Some things I think about is fish oils, right? And that's, you can't just buy fish oils, right? You have to get quality fish oils. Rancidity of the oils, if it's not stored the right way, it's super hot, right? I just did a show on benzene that was found, well, in the past it was found in hand soaps, suntan lotions, but in this episode, it was found in cosmetics for things for acne. And these cosmetics, when they're in places that are hot, especially if they go like, think of a hot car. Like, let's say I buy like Clearasil and I put it in a hot car and it's staying in there. It's going to act overnight. It's going to activate benzene over at least 2, 3, 4, 6 hours inside and externally. Like, we don't think about that because people use Clearasil or Proactiv and they never even thought twice about it. Which brings me actually to some beauty stuff. What things do we need to be looking for in the beauty industry? There's a lot of female listeners. What are some of the things that are really high on your bar and the swells?
So you mentioned benzene, and there's a lot of other like crazy ingredients that are inside personal care and beauty products. So until very recently, and in fact, it wasn't until Congress passed this recent law, which we can talk about in 2022, which isn't even in effect yet until I think July of this year. There's no regulation, no oversight. The FDA doesn't, you're not required to register a product. If you want to release a product in the personal care makeup industry, you're not required to register it with the FDA. You don't have to have a GMP certified facility until now. And so it's a big problem. I think the average woman puts on 28 products that have over 130 chemicals every day. And it's sitting on your skin, which is our largest organ. It's in being inhaled through your nose. Even people who are using chapstick or lip balm, you know, if you put that on twice a day, by the end of a year, you've eaten four of those tubes. Like you've just had a dinner with four of these tubes all year long. So people who say, you know, the dose makes the poison, right? It's cumulative over, you know, years. And so we're very sensitive to it. As you know, we have our toxicologist, Dr. Yvonne, who's looking at every single product. And in fact, you know, clean beauty is not a, you know, you don't need any qualification to say clean beauty. So it's also become a very, you know, dirty space. So this whole clean beauty and greenwashing that's going on in the space. So I think it's very hard for a woman, especially men too, who are using shampoos and skin, you know, lotions and all sorts of other products that are equally susceptible, but it's very hard to regulate. And so it's up to us. And this is what we've taken a position at the Swell Score about our chemical policy. We have a long list, a strict list of chemicals, which, by the way, the FDA has only banned 11 chemicals, 11 out of 80,000. I think it's almost 100,000 chemicals that are in use right now. So think about that. There's only 11 products that are banned by the FDA. And that's not true in Europe, and it's not true in other countries which have stricter policies. So I don't understand why we can't at least increase that list of banned chemicals that we know are endocrine disrupting, cancer causing. Mm-hmm. There's a long list of chemicals. And so we can't promise you safety. There is zero, there isn't a place where you get zero chemical body exposure or body burden, but we can lower it by the amount of products that you put on and which products are you putting on. So at the Swell, we've curated, I think, some of the best brands in the space. And we look at every single SKU. It's not a brand approval. So just because one brand is doing, you know, three products that are great, we won't carry the entire line. Every single product SKU is evaluated independently. And I think, you know, we shouldn't be the only ones doing this. Like, everybody should be doing this. Yeah. I mean, it's not unique to the Swell. It's just like we need to take control. And most consumers love the convenience. Like, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to do the research. They don't want to read your list of, you know, product ingredients that may be harmful. They just want to say, tell me which product I should use. And that's just the nature of the society and the world that we're living in. So we're trying to provide some of that convenience, but I think we all have to, you know, get sort of stop being lazy about it. If you care about your health, and no matter what age you are, I know you have a younger demo, you're going to get to a point in your life where you're going to get that call, right? We all are going to get that call because, you know, in the United States, over 100% increase in people over the age of 50 have some sort of diagnostic disease state. I think almost 75% of them have two, or, you know, comorbidities. So I think what you do today when you're in your 20s and 30s is going to impact you when you're in your 50s and 60s. And believe me, I'm sitting here as a result of that. You know, I grew up very unhealthy, eating space food sticks and Cheez-Its for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I think you eventually have to pay that cost. So long answer to your question is, I think it's up to us. We try really hard and you know, to curate the best, cleanest ingredients in all of our products. We have the strictest no chemical policy of anyone, including, you know, Sephora and, you know, the detox market and all of these other places. Ask them what their chemical policy is, their no chemical policy is, and see what answers you get from them.
Yeah, no, this is, I know our policy, we're very strict over here because the beauty industry, I found, was one of the hardest ones as far as the regulation, as you said. So in the beginning, when this was first started and we were talking about, like, let's bring products, I couldn't find any. I really couldn't find any good lipsticks or any good concealers or bronzers or foundations. Handful, maybe one or two. And over the years, there was some more, right? And we started talking about this, oh, we're going to put in this brand, we're going to put in these guys. But I feel for women who want to make that change, there wasn't much inventory, but then they're talking about, well, you know, it's like healthy, but it's not staying on, or it's really crappy. But we've actually found some good companies out there that are quality, and you know, we've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. Skincare isn't just about looking good. It's about nurturing your skin and well-being from the inside out. In a world flooded with skincare products filled with harsh chemicals, finding something truly effective and safe feels like an impossible task. But Aliturra Naturals is changing the game. They got accolades for eco-consciousness and clean beauty. Aliturra Naturals has crafted a serum that's not only safe, but also incredibly effective. Their Gold Serum isn't just another skincare product. You probably see me talking about it on my stories. It's a testament to the power of natural healing and a commitment to holistic health. They use organic ingredients like jojoba, olive, and rosehip oils. The Gold Serum is made organically with plant-derived vitamin A, GH, K, CU, and marine collagen to revitalize that skin. Aliturra Naturals, they've been using the best ingredients in their products for years. They've been pioneering the path for what truly transforms skincare. So if you're ready to take control of your skin health and experience the pinnacle of natural beauty, I highly recommend checking out Aliturra Naturals. And for a limited time, Heal Thyself listeners can enjoy an exclusive discount. Just visit aliturra.com and use the code DRG at checkout for 20% off. That is A-L-I-T-U-R-A.com and use the code DRG for 20% off. You know, living a long life is great. It is. We all want to live longer. But what's even better is living those years in good health, right? Free of the chronic diseases and the ailments. Unfortunately for many, the gap between lifespan and health span is way too wide. And we spent our last years ill, not enjoying our life to the fullest. And that's why I'm always into research-based products, quality supplements that are coming out to you, the highest, the best of the best, some of the best rigorously tested supplements. And one of my favorite companies across the board is Momentous. And they have two that I use every single day, creatine and collagen. These are the two powerhouses at work. I've been open that I've been working out more 4 times a week. I'm lifting heavy weights, and these are staples. And not just me, I think everyone should be out working out, building muscle, staples to muscle repair and muscle growth. But what sets Momentous apart from the rest is its clinically researched formulas. For the collagen, it delivers 15 grams of collagen, supporting your body in various ways. And it's not just one type of collagen, it's all the types of collagen, right? A lot of companies just have one type of collagen. You want all the types of your body's absorbing and utilizing this collagen the way you desire the body to use it. But boy, oh boy, the gold standard for working out, if you're not on this, you don't even have to be working out. You can use it for your brain, is creatine. Momentous creatine is fantastic. There's no fillers, no additive, pure, effective ingredients you can trust. Trust is everything when it comes to supplements. Momentous third-party test. There's no surprises. What you see on the package is what you get. So if you're like me, you want to fuel your body with the best of the best, go to livemomentous.com and use the code DRG for 15% off of creatine and collagen and all their top-notch products. That is LiveMomentous.com with the code DRG for your discount. What would you say, as far as beauty, is the most quote unquote toxic or concerning beauty product out there?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to make people aware that we are also at a crossroads, because the last congressional legislation that kind of oversaw beauty and cosmetics was done in 1938. That's how long it's been. So until 2022, where this Modernization of Cosmetics Act was passed. And what's going to happen, and it's by its intention, it's a good idea. It's requiring cosmetics and personal care companies to have better manufacturing practices, to do more testing, to be more consistent. And so I think that's great, but it's going to put all of these brands, or a lot of them, out of business, because it's super expensive to do this. So it's going to be a problem. They're fighting this fight right now, because the idea is to get rid of these sort of these mom and pop cosmetic and beauty companies that decide to just make product with no oversight and no, you know, kind of safety regulations, put it out there, and you can put it on TikTok and Instagram, and overnight you're going to be successful. I think they're trying to prevent that, but they're going to cause these brands that we carry that are awesome a lot of pain, and it's a lot of money. So the cost is going to go up. Some of them are going to go out of business. And so we need to find a better solution, a middle ground that will allow the brands that are innovating in the space, like 100% Pure and Earth Harbor and Under Luna and so many great brands that we carry in the Swell Han, to flourish in this mm-hmm. economic environment, because you're just going to be left with the big boys, and the smaller innovators are going to go out of business. So I'm concerned about what's happening in the space for that.
I would be too, especially if I was a small business and trying to do right by everyone and putting good products out there and these things are starting to move along in the future.
Yeah.
So back to that question, which one?
So I'm not a toxicologist, but I ask this question to everybody I know. Like if I could have a solution, because we're building a lot of really cool things at The Swell. I mean, amazing things, as you know, with AI and helping people understand what the Swell score is, your wellness exposures, or your chemical exposures, your wellness scores. So one of the things I ask is like, which is more harmful, a shampoo or a skin lotion, a nail polish or a lipstick? And so obviously you have to weight these. They are all different, and they are on your skin body longer. So I think that's kind of a factor. So for me, I think, and I'm not a woman, but I'd be most concerned about lipstick and nail polish. Nail polish has a lot of chemicals, and you're talking about benzene and hexanes and formaldehyde, which is really toxic, which I hope we can talk about the home too, which is the next area The Swell is going into, which is formaldehyde is in your furniture. It's in your carpeting. It's in your, in some cases in the paint, and it's in the building materials, and it's really toxic. So I'd be worried about what I'm putting on my skin that I'm leaving on my skin, because it's staying on there, as opposed to the shampoos. Although I use obviously a clean shampoo, but if I had to make a choice, and I'd be very concerned about lipstick and very concerned about nail polish.
I did the lipstick show, and we were talking about PFAS, right? Especially the waterproof or like just wetproof lipstick or a mascara. And I didn't even think about waterproof until I'm like, oh, of course there's PFAS in there. We're swallowing it, we're using it on our lips. And the nail polish, the show that I did, is it was surprising, because in the past we didn't really think that the chemicals in nail polish weren't going into the nail bed and then into the system, to the blood. But it does. It does. It absolutely does. So, I mean, it's like, I try to not tiptoe around it, but like I'll tell sometimes my friends, like, hey, just let you know. And like, oh no, another thing. But it's important. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. You got to bring awareness to it. And if you're wearing nail polish often, or lipstick often, or makeup often, or shampooing your hair or soap, like these are small, like you said, dose makes the poison is something, man, I did so many shows just talking about how we need to talk about what dose makes the poison, and it's more expansive than that really limiting statement. But when we think about these things that are in our bathroom or a pantry that we're putting on our body, it's cumulative, right? And you mentioned that before, it accumulates over time. Having that many sticks of lipstick, in your body, that accumulates over time. There are things that you're going to pee out, things that you're going to poop out. There's other things like heavy metals that are going to stay in the body, and they're just going to build up and build up and build up. And like you said, at some point we get that call and we don't know what happened. I thought I ate healthy. It's more than that. It's these things that you're choosing to put on your body every single
day. Okay, so let me ask you a question, because I'm often found in this dilemma, because I go to I'm obsessed with hot yoga, okay? It's just my thing. I love working out in the heat, and it's with weights, and it's not just yoga, but I see women, young women there with like makeup on, they're like drenched in makeup, like, and it's the waterproof makeup. So of course I know what I know. Right. So it's like, do you find yourself wanting to go up and give people unsolicited wellness advice? Never.
No. if they overhear me talking about how they go, oh, you know about health, or, hey, I think I follow you. I heard about, hey, go look at my latest post on lipstick or something. Right. Like, so no, I mean, no one wants to be told like, hey, don't eat that bag of chips every single day for the rest of your life.
But you'd be surprised. I think that they do. I don't want to be that creepy guy, so don't worry, I'm not doing it. I think I did a really fun video with Courtney, our mutual friend, in the grocery store, where I was pretending to be this unsolicited wellness advisor, and we'd go in with her. Yeah. And you go to people and they're like so excited. Oh, do you know that those chips that are in your cart have really unhealthy oils in them? Do you know you can get a better version of this milk? People were like, this is awesome. Like, they weren't offended by it. So I think people do want to know, but when you're walking in Dr. G's shoes every day, you got to feel compelled to try and help heal somebody.
It's empowerment over shame is the way you communicate. And the thing about people is, man, we can sense when people are coming from their ego and their mind, or they're coming from their heart. Like, if someone's coming with their heart to me and I'm ashamed, 'cause I'm like, oh wait, I wear black t-shirts every day, and she's telling me that black t-shirts have this chemical that will ruin your sperm. If she's coming from her heart, I can feel that, and everyone can. So I think it's just the way we communicate it. If it's in purpose, in love, and heart versus fear, brain, logic, you know, ego. We feel that. So it's a good question. I mean,
I'm waiting for what's the name of the Apple lenses?
I don't even know.
I'm waiting for that so I can wear that in the grocery store and you can look at things and it'll tell you like this has that or,
right.
You know, this piece of clothing has, it was tested for this. Like how great would that
be? That's a game changer.
Yeah, come on.
So what about home stuff? This is something that I've loved talking about over the past few years. And I know that we love it and swell. There's a lot of things that are unfolding. What are some of your major concerns when it comes to a new home that we're newly furnishing or moving into?
Okay, so as you know, this is my latest passion. This is, I think, you know, when we're looking at all the pillars of health and how do we stay healthy? How do we live longer? How do we increase our health span and decrease our dailies, which are the disability, you know, years that we have? Like we all don't want to end up in a wheelchair. So, you know, what we're exposed to, the environmental toxins in our home is crazy. And I think we made this mistake in the 70s, in the United States at least, when we went through this sort of energy crisis. And so there was a big movement in the early 70s. You know, we need to make our homes more energy efficient. You know, we need to lock them down, heating efficient, air conditioning efficient. And I think we didn't realize that what you're actually doing is locking in all of these bad sort of VOC chemicals that are having an impact on our health. So indoor air pollution is a real deal. And I know you did a post recently about radon. If you live in certain areas where you're exposed to radon, you know, it used to be asbestos, which of course was a big thing in the 70s as well. And I think we've, you know, kind of dealt with that, but there are other toxins in our home that you're not even aware of where they're coming from. Your carpeting, your couches, your mattresses, your bed, your pillows. I mean, I think if you're not retiring your pillows every 2 years, you're putting yourself at risk because you're breathing all the dust and the dust mites and all the dust that's accumulating in your house has all of that VOC chemicals in it. So I'm really excited. We're about to launch something on the Swell, which is going to revolutionize this home health side of the business. And we're wanting more people to get involved. So if people are interested in getting their home health tested or they want to help get involved, I recommend you kind of tune into us at the Swell Score, either join our email list on the Swell Score or, you know, follow us on one of our social platforms. But we're on a mission. I think this is a big area that we can make a big impact, especially for moms who have small kids. Your indoor air quality and the products that you're using in your home should be super high on your list of things that you want to try.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because it's a thing we don't think about, right? And when the kid has a rash or eczema or allergies, develops asthma, the pediatrician is like, oh, it might be the food. We remove the food, but it didn't help. Oh, it might be allergies that are happening not in the home, but maybe outside, maybe oak trees, spruce trees. We start thinking about those. I'm just allergic to something. I have allergies. But you know, what pediatrician, and I'm actually, viewers and listeners, think about it. What pediatrician has ever said to you, well, what about what's going on in your home? You know, have you tested for mold? Have you tested for the chemical? Did you bring in a new couch and then a week later the eczema started? Because that's very much so a possibility. And we don't think about that with our kids or their sinus issues, the mold thing being huge. So there's things that should be high on the list as new parents and really up there, I would say top three to be the home.
So I want to just clarify one thing too, because mold has become another buzz topic on social media, which I want to talk about social media with you as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's the thing. Mold is everywhere. It was here before humans. It's going to be here after humans, and it's not going anywhere. So you can't get rid of mold. But what you can do is knock down. First of all, you can change how your body reacts to it, how you kind of whether it's, you know, your ability to kind of detox the mold, and also what kind of mold you're exposed to. So, of course, if you have wet areas that are generating mold, toxic mold in your home, that's something that has to be addressed. But I'm super interested in just, you know, helping people understand, does your home have mold or do you have mold? So we're about to release a test where you can test whether your body is, you know, sort of high with mold. And then we can find out where it's coming from in your home. But we can also help you just make the air cleaner in your home. We can help your body immune system get, you know, sort of better at processing it. So I think there's, you have to attack it from multiple angles, almost like functional health or integrative health. Like you need someone to help you understand. You definitely have an environmental issue if you're seeing your kids with all of these other conditions that you just outlined. I think that's something I would look at first.
Yeah. If your pediatrician or your doctor is saying, we don't know what's going on, it's just, it's something that we just can't figure out, think about your home. That's immediately what you have to think about is your home.
But don't you think doctors aren't incentivized? They're just like, okay, here's some, you know, allergy medicine, or here's a,
It's just the way we're trained, right? It's like, there's the algorithm of they show up with this. Does it have this? Yes or no. What about the blood work? Yes or no. Oh, give them Claritin.
Right.
You know, it's a toolkit that we're trained with. Functional naturopathic doctors are different, conventional being the toolkit that we have. So it's like, you wouldn't ask someone who only has a screw and scissors to build a house, right? They just don't have the tools. The person with the screw and scissors can put together a couch and cut off the tags, you know, and that's what their toolkit is. So, but the home thing has always been intriguing for me, because it's a thing that we don't look at. And I came from it from the lens of cancer. So, you know, we know that there's carcinogens that we breathe in the home or that we put into our body. So my concern was like, how much over time is that a cause for cancer? And there's no, it's like actually absolutely something that we need to talk about is like, these things down the line can cause cancer. That's a problem.
Yeah, I think new construction is actually probably the most dangerous, which people
think. This is what I was just going to talk about. Yeah.
It's brand new and it's got to be clean and safe. But in truth, it's actually worse because it's all new and it's also it's off-gassing. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the other area we didn't talk about too is your bed, your mattresses. So all these box mattresses that people love that they, you know, are made with sort of chemicals that are off-gassing, which if you're inhaling all of that for all night for 8 hours a night, it's not good for you. But I think people are not aware. They assume, as I did, we did a show together where we went in a brand new apartment and with a mold guy, mm-hmm. and he said, and I was like, this is going to be a dud because this is new. It's only 2 years old. And within a minute, he found mold in our HVAC system everywhere.
Yeah. HVAC. Yeah. It was in the system dripping, causing mold growth and flowing through the whole HVAC system.
Yeah, and I didn't have symptoms. So that's the other thing. It's like, you know, don't wait until you have a symptom or you have a problem or it's debilitating. You can't, you know, you have chronic fatigue or Lyme or something else that it makes it so difficult to deal with it. I think we got to be more proactive about making our environments healthier and our diet healthier.
I want to talk about that, the new constructions, because that was in my head before you said it. I think you're right. Mold has been around for so long. We've evolved so much with mold. I have a feeling that these new constructions or these newer builds, off-gassing with that, the overburden in our cup, and then being exposed to mold is the bigger issue. I remember I was looking for an apartment a few years ago and I went into like this brand new, beautiful build. It was like near the water. I was like, what? I was like, oh man. I mean, this place is kind of expensive, but it's nice. Look at all these amenities, rooftop. And I walked in and they had the windows closed. So no one, they moved out. They never opened the window and the windows had been closed and you could just smell the chemicals. Mm. You could smell the flooring. You could smell the paint on the walls. You could smell the off-gassing of all of the rugs that led up the stairs into the room. And I go, whoa, like I have a headache. And me, I'm like a canary in the coal mine. You know that, like I can sense when it's not a good place. And I question actually, like how many of you viewing and listening I want you to think about it. Did whatever you're going through physically happen after you moved into a new build, right? Like a new home that you built, which in itself can be riddled with mold because they're not protecting the foundation or the skeleton of the home. But even new homes, like a new apartment complex that just went up and you moved into excitedly, how do you feel since you've been there? We don't think about that. And these are questions that doctors need to be asking immediately. It needs to be in their first visit talking about environmental medicine.
Yeah, so we want to take this citizen science approach to this as well. Like, again, the same as what we talked about earlier, which is it's not going to be solved by the FDA or any other government, you know, EPA or any other government regulation board. I want to take this on and we're going to take it on as well. Which, you know, if you know people that have new construction, that have health issues or you're concerned, we're going to send somebody to your house to test it. And we want to find out, because the more data we have, the more science we have, the more leverage we have to make change, right? Or demand change, right? And doesn't happen if people just quietly go about their business, or they're going to move to the next place. And I think this is going to be a thing when you buy a home or you're renting a new apartment, you're going to want to test for these other things first.
Have to.
And no one's thinking about that, because you get seduced by it. It's by the water. It's got a workout room.
Right,
it's got this great views, great light. But is it near a power plant? Does it have, you know, crazy electromagnetic energy flowing through it? What's the history? Is there any kind of health history? What kind of water quality? What's the city water quality that's going to this building? The biggest thing you can ever treat is the water quality that's coming into your home. It's the easiest thing you can do. And it's probably the most impactful thing you can do, because one thing I've learned, which, you know, living where I'm living now, is that recently we moved to launch a farm, and water, all these basic, you know, necessities like water and heat and air, it's harder to come by. And so I've noticed how hard it is to get water to where I live. Literally, it's not a given. It's not a city water system, and it has to come up a hill. I had to install all these pumps that have to bring the water up the hill. I think that's another big area that people should focus on wherever you're living right now, is to either get your water tested yourself or get your water filtered, even without testing it. Because I can promise you, the cities are not motivated to give you the cleanest water. They can't. They're not built for that. And in fact, they're trying to knock down any kind of impurities in the water with chlorine and other things, so that they can make sure you don't get sick. But they're not thinking about you getting sick in 5-10 years or any other adverse
acute effects. Stuff.
Yeah,
you could go to Environmental Working Group, test the water. There's a zip code. You could put it in the database, check your zip code, and then see. You know, and you'll be surprised, because the town that you think is like, oh, I'm paying all these taxes for, and it's a really ritzy town, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's not economically.
Doesn't mean anything. Yeah, it doesn't. So, okay, all right. You said the word influencers. I don't know what I am, but I've been around for a while. What is the problem with health and wellness influencers right now and pushing health and wellness products?
Well, first of all, I my history is, I had a prior company, as you know, which I built a very large influencer agency. We were in the sort of early days, the dawn of influencer marketing, and it wasn't called that back then. This is going back, I don't know, 20 years. It's changed. So what's happening, is, which is really fantastic, is there's a groundswell of young women and men that are super into biohacking and health. And I think that's fantastic, because it's made the sort of the universe and the world more smaller village. So you can get information, you can, you know, get education without having to spend hours reading thousands of studies and, you know, trying to find a scientist to interpret the studies for you. So I think that's great. The downside is, we built this creator economy based on these social platforms. And so, you know, these creators, you know, like yourself and others, are trying to make a business out of helping people become healthier, which I think is awesome, but they have to rely on income. So that income is coming from either brand deals or affiliate deals or any other way that they can, you know, help generate income. Some people are selling personal coaching and coursework, which is all great. But I get concerned about the affiliate products and affiliate deals, because if that, you know, influencer's relying on the income from that product, is that actually the best product you should be pitching to your audience? And in most cases, 90% of the time, they're all good products and they're well-intentioned. But I feel like that's a conflict, because if you're relying on your income, just like a doctor can't have a kickback, he can't prescribe a certain drug. He'll go to jail if he overprescribes a certain medication, because there's regulations in place to prevent him from earning kickbacks from that company. And so I think we don't have those guardrails yet. So I think with the Swell, we're trying to help influencers navigate that by vetting the products, making them easier for your followers to get access to them. And we won't recommend everything. So you might be making a lot of income and affiliate commissions off of some products that, you know, don't really pass our sniff test. I think that's a problem. So I just want people to be aware of that and just sort of, you know, think about when you're, whoever you're following, because I'm the same way. I follow people and I hear something and I'm like, oh, I want to go try that. And I'll just go try it without doing any research or, you know, any, you know, legwork on myself. And I think that's a, you know, dangerous area.
Yeah, we should think about that, right? Not always just being like, oh, I should get this because this person said this.
Yeah.
But taking a moment, at least take 2 minutes to yourself and really connect and see how you feel. And then also knowing that there is a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
There's always a conflict of interest. I've always felt weird. I never had a supplement company sell and then me make money off of each sale ever.
Yeah. So you're, you know, in case you don't know, Dr. G is actually one of the few that doesn't do these affiliate commissions. And I've always been impressed by that. You know, it's a tough world because you also want, you need to make an income, right? Yeah. So I'm not judging the ones that do it. And I just want people to be aware. Like, you may not be aware that you see videos of someone in a grocery store pitching you a certain product that they actually may be making a commission off that product. They're supposed to disclose that, but they don't. And then is that the best product that, are they recommending the best product or are they recommending a product that they're making the most commission from? That's what I get concerned about.
Yeah. You never know, right? All it takes is just a little bit of motivation to do something else, even if you're well-intentioned.
Yeah.
You know, you never know the variables at play. Okay, so listen, I lived on your farm for a month. I lived in the back house, beautiful, shout out. And we'll put the Airbnb tag on here because it's a nice place. You want to get away from everyone and everything and get back to yourself, you got to go there. And I was on this farm, Roots to Rise.
Root to Rise Farms.
Yeah. Root to Rise. And, you know, seeing you have your own farm space is really motivating because you're really wanting to get back in touch with nature. You know the value of getting in touch with nature, growing your own food. We have a food supply, you know, I'll go to Whole Foods and I'll just, you know, go walk up and down the aisles, throw some stuff in there, leave, cook it and eat. What's the value of having that connection? And what's wrong right now with the industry, the produce industry, the farming? What have you found by living in a farm that is revolutionary to your health and people's health? Should we all be living on a farm?
Well, I would say if to those people who are just listening, I'm the biggest city nerd there is. Like, I was born in Detroit, spent most of my youth in New York City, came to California, lived in LA, was the furthest from, you know, rural farm life guy. And in fact, I'm also not very handy. I'm just, you know, I'm a city guy. So this opportunity came up, and actually my partner, Amy, she purchased this farm. It's in Santa Barbara County, and it's a beautiful place with, you know, an ocean view farm. It's you're there and you feel like, you know, like you're in another space. And I was like, oh, this is great. Cause we both wanted to get away from LA. She's from Tennessee and she decided, you know, she had an exit with her company and I was ready to get out of LA. So we went on this journey, adventure. I think mainly I pushed her into this adventure. Mm. So it's mostly my fault. But you have this sort of romanticized notion that, you know, I saw Biggest Little Farm. I've always, you know, thought this would be so cool. And then when you arrive, which for us, it's been about a year and a half, almost 2 years, you realize how difficult it is, especially because, of course, I know too much information. I know all the problems with pesticides and herbicides and glyphosate, and we consulted with all these advisors and we want to be 100% organic. We want to be beyond organic because I think organic has also been a label that's been somewhat corrupted. I mean, it's not what you think it means, but just so you know, if you're listening out there, just because it says it's organic doesn't mean it's not sprayed with chemicals. They are sprayed with chemicals. And so no matter what, always wash your fruit and of course I would buy organic because it's better than conventional, but we are trying to be beyond organic. And so we've learned a lot. I mean, we learned how difficult it is, how expensive it is. The cost of water is insane. Just to water your crops. Yeah. We're growing avocado and coffee, and avocado is a water heavy sort of crop, but in the area that we live in, it thrives. And the way we planted it was more economical with smaller trees that are closer together. So it helps conserve some of that water. And, you know, of course, it takes years to come in. We had to spend a year just, you know, putting more nitrogen in the soil. We had to turn the soil over. We planted a cover crop. We had to turn that cover crop into the soil so the nitrogen comes back into the soil because it had been neglected for years by another farmer. So we had to bring it back to life. But it's been an amazing journey. I've done things I've never done before and I never thought I would do, you know, from driving a tractor to, you know, building and constructing a shipping container outdoor area to, you know, millions of other sort of things that I'm challenging myself every day. what I've learned, because I also talk to all my neighbor farmers, is I'm really fascinated with this. And what I've learned is, being organic, there's no incentive to be organic. So when you see organic and I see a local farmer that's being organic, you should kiss the ground, which, by the way, is another great movie to watch, which also inspired me. Because they're not making the yield on the price is not that much as from what you think. And the other thing I learned is that when you grow, first of all, what's happening is these in like Whole Foods and all these grocery chains, they're bringing in most of their produce from Central and South America and Mexico. And, you know, so this is not, you know, it's hard to be an American farmer and be organic and be in that supply chain, because what happens is these middlemen come in and they actually drive the price down. So you're not really making that much money. So these farmers, these organic farmers, are actually surviving most from the local farmers markets. So brought me, you know, sort of new appreciation to, you know, shop at your local farmers market, because you're supporting these farmers that are trying to make a difference. But I think the idea that big agriculture is spraying with all these chemicals, and we have such this, and it's been genetically modified. And if you want to know anything about what's wrong with our food system, watch Kiss the Ground or Common Ground, which is a sequel, and you can see why big farmers are not, big ag sort of is not motivated to figure out a healthier system, and we're destroying the soil. So what's happening is it's creating, you know, it's actually creating, you know, problems with our environment by the soil not being nutrient dense. It's devoid of nutrients, and it's creating this sort of ugly cloud. You know, the Dust Bowl happened years ago. It was like, in the 20s, and that was the same problem. They over tilled the soil, and it created a Dust Bowl, and basically it killed off thousands of families and thousands of farmland. And so I think there are easier ways to, and healthier ways to grow now. But we gotta support them, and we gotta support, you know, even big ag can be cleaner in what they're doing, and use less chemicals. And right now they're not motivated to do that.
I love the farmers market. It's the thing that I look forward to. You know, one of the things I look forward to is going out, and I know some of the people there. Hey, Dr. G, how are you? You know, it's where you can connect with your food. You know, listen. I talk about the material stuff, the antioxidants in food and pesticides, but there's energy. There's an energy exchange in food, right? You want to support people with good energy who want to do right by the world. That there's always an energetic like transaction that goes on. So my body wants to receive food from people with integrity.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I also learned this, which is recently I started, you know, we grew our own, we had our own garden, which, you know, didn't work out too well. And then we have the farm. And then I started sprouting, right? Sprouting is a very simple thing, right? You buy seeds, you throw them in a jar, you water them twice a day, and you know, sprouts grow. But there's something energetically amazing about eating something you've grown. That was the first spark that was lit up in me. It was like, wow, I'm eating these broccoli sprouts that I grew. I did it all myself. I didn't need to go to a store. I knew the whole process from soup to nuts. I actually researched where the seeds were coming from. I think that's something everybody can do. And I think everybody should try to grow some food. But I will say this, my next door neighbor is a big grower. He has a bigger farm in another part of California, and he's a big supplier to Whole Foods, and he's organic, and he's awesome. And he told me that, you know, if it wasn't for the farmers markets, they'd be out of business.
Wow.
And he goes from Santa Barbara all the way down to Santa Monica to do farmers markets. He's been doing it for 20 years. And that was like really kind of eye-opening for me, because I didn't realize that when you walk the farmers markets, I feel like, oh, they're charging me too much money for this, or it's cheaper at Whole Foods, or, you know, I don't know like what's been on this. For me, my brain goes, if it's in Whole Foods or it's in a grocery store, it must have been cleaned and must be safe. It's the polar opposite. You should buy the ugly produce, or buy the produce from your local growers, because it has a shorter travel time. You're more assured that it was grown with proper techniques, you know? So I think that's what the light bulb was for me about.
And the energetic exchange, you know, right? So everybody get to a farmer's market. It might be warming up a little bit while where you are. Spring is coming. The markets are going to pop up in the cold areas, and go visit it. Shoot, man, we went over, look, we went from Amazon to farmer's markets in like 45 minutes. I love that. Is there anything that is on your heart that you really wanted to say to the audience before we wrap up?
I want to say a couple things. First of all, The other thing, I'm so impressed to be your partner and appreciative to be your business partner. And what I've learned from you, and even this is very uncomfortable for me. I'm not used to being out front. I like being behind the cameras.
Yeah.
But the energetic exchange that happens with you, like you have this ability, you know, when you're a seeking mind and you're asking questions and the virtue that you host a podcast to ask questions of people is really, to me, I think that's the bodhisattva mindset. You know, that's where you're going to reach enlightenment, not by telling people what to do, not by on this side of the couch. It's on that side of your side of the couch where you're asking questions. So I hope more people ask questions, and I think you're a great role model for many people that you do that. And I'm inspired by that. So I appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
The other thing I would just say is like, we're really excited about what's going on with the Swell and what's to come. So I hope people can go, the only way we can stay in contact with you is through email and sometimes through social media, but both of those places are controlled by Apple and Google and Mark Zuckerberg, don't want us to reach the audience. So you have to, it's hard for us to even reach our own followers. So I think that's the best way to stay in touch, because we're going to announce some really big things about home health and other things coming soon and home testing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be talking about it too. Yeah. So look, viewers and listeners, if you want to go to a place where I'm not joking, you need to go to this place. If you're buying vitamins, minerals, supplements, antioxidants, herbs, beauty, things for the home, you have to go here. It's a one-stop shop. I've been talking about this for many years for a reason. We put integrity behind this. It's not just like a sales pitch. It's the real deal, and it's growing, and I'm excited to see this home stuff coming as it unfolds. You'll see what's going on. So check out the Swell Score. What's the website?
The website is theswellscore.com.
And what's the Instagram?
Instagram is @theswellscore.
At the Swell Score. And it's good stuff. They'll repost some of my stuff. They'll have some awesome sayings. We'll do some investigations on stuff. It's just so cool. Everyone go check out the website. And thank you, Gary, for coming on the show. Look, it's been a while coming on, and we're finally doing it. And thank you for imparting so much wisdom on supplement industry, influencers, beauty industry, farming. I hope all of you got some really good gems and share them with your loved ones. Thank you.